Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis, off for another day of broadcast insolence, and I could not be happier about the traffic moving behind me. That has just become my thing.
It's open, the Lakeshore Drive, both directions.
Yep, there you go.
Now you just have to dodge all the falling ice today.
Now that,
well, I'm
sorts of hazards.
Just be happy that I'm here today. I swear, I was walking down near the Sears Tower, and those shards of ice were coming down. And at first I thought, oh, they're just blocked off the street right there. I'll stand over here and take some pictures. And I did, because I needed to post it on social media. And then all of a sudden, I get back in the car, and those shards of ice are still hitting me from other buildings, the windshield. And it was like this loudest thump ever. Oh. Like, I'm so happy I was
You survived it, Anna.
Row strong.
I was trying to take a video of the movement now on northbound Lakeshore Drive, and cars weren't in the video at that point, but ice flying off
you
the
You saw
buildings.
Those? They were like huge shards
Into
of ice.
Into the river, yes.
Oh. It's bad.
Really bad.
Has had deadly results in downtown Chicago.
That's what I think about. I have the flashbacks of having covered those stories before when people, it didn't work out well. And then I pulled over by Union Station, and it was just as bad over there, even though that road was not blocked off at that time.
And it was coming off the trees, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I take a dog sled through Lincoln Park every day.
Why not? This kind of weather calls
for that.
This
is what I do. And I'm practicing for the musher, and I'm just seeing if I could, you know, just one day Tom says I should go to Alaska and work this out. So I'm going through, I was driving through, around Lincoln Park, through the one of the streets that goes through there, through the park near the zoo, and there was ice coming off the trees hitting all the cars.
Yeah.
It's like it was like another snowstorm, except it was just getting blown off the trees. Now, we're going to have Tom Skilling on in the 4 o'clock hour, right here at 4:10.
He warned us
1 hour
this.
From right now. Come back. Wait till you hear what's coming.
Right.
There are 50-mile-an-hour winds starting at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to create all kinds of problems. There's iced over power lines that are going to go down. There are streetlights, trees, all the rest that are going to be, because they're heavy from having the ice and the snow on them, and then they get hit with the 50-mile-an-hour wind. It is as though there is some deity of some sort that has chosen to target we here in Chicago.
Feels like it, doesn't it? Between the polar vortex and this, and I don't know.
What did we do?
I don't know. Why is God mad at us?
I don't know. Is it because Rahm Emanuel's leaving? I don't think so. I'd imagine that when it comes to decisions with God, God might be going, okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's all right.
That was okay. Yeah.
That one's an okay one. That's okay deal.
Too many candidates for mayor?
Maybe. Willie Wilson's very, very devout. Maybe Willie Wilson could say a prayer for us.
Let God know. We need some help over here.
Of all of the candidates, probably Willie is God's candidate, I would guess.
I think so. In our forum, when we asked him to have a closing statement, he said a prayer instead.
Right.
So
it's, yeah.
It kind of shows what a devout
he's
man
very,
he is.
He's a big he's a big promoter of God, so he's got that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
See, it seems like it's actually might even be on the on the payroll up in heaven.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure.
Well, he's got that TV show, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Where
he
right.
Yeah. The gospel show.
So I'm not sure exactly how that goes. Jerry Joyce seems like he might. Jerry Joyce is one of those guys who's to me seems like he's either going to or coming from Mass. He's one of those guys
yeah.
who like goes at like 4 o'clock in the morning to some early morning Mass.
Yeah.
And they do a devotional of some sort, and then he goes to work out, and then he goes to work. Right? He's in the office by 7:30, already having been up for 3 hours.
Right. Already done more than most people do
right.
all day.
Right. And you're like, now, how did that happen?
He's the dad who brags about getting up early.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You're slept like, until 7? You're lazy? I've been up since 4.
Yeah, really.
Right. Went on a 20-mile bike ride, went to Mass, made some breakfast.
What are you yawning for, huh?
Right. And as soon as the 10 o'clock news starts, he's asleep.
Right.
He is, like, in bed. He's already... And he was working on legal documents from, like, 9 to 10.
It's the dad who falls asleep in the chair. But
right.
And then everyone wakes him up, and he refuses to admit that he was sleeping.
I was not sleeping.
Wasn't sleeping.
I'm fine.
Put that back on.
Dinner is at 5:45 every night, right on time. He eats one raw egg when he wakes up at 4:30 in the morning.
If he wants to get crazy, he'll have a glass of wine. One.
One. Right. A week. Maybe it's Sunday night for dinner. The whole family over. I just see, those guys that are just, they're like...
Disciplined.
They're disciplined, and I wish I had just an ounce of that. I don't have any of it. I admire them for that. All right. right, let's. All right, coming up on the program, Ben Bradley is going to join us here in just a moment. El Chapo verdict, and it's very interesting.
It is. And the Chicago connections are plentiful, including the two brothers that brought him down, ultimately flipped on behalf of the feds and provided all the information, including the Empire information that you want to talk about.
And the engineering unit has a few union has a few things to say about what is happening here with our infrastructure.
Oh, that sounds troubling.
Yes. Stay here. That also comes your way in this hour. And then Mr. Skilling in the 4 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to mess this because you may have to literally batten down the hatches. If you have hatches in your home, one must batten them down now.
Batten away.
Kim, what's coming up?
Mayor Emanuel pushing hard to snuff out the sale of tobacco products to minors.
Then there's this. Tonight, after a viewer called for help, Joe Donlin started digging.
Oh, yeah.
And Disker Boy, he discovered why some abandoned homes sit empty for years. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
I did notice that Joe Donlin is working triple overtime now.
Yes.
He's a crime fighter, too, apparently, right?
Yes, he can solve all your problems, be they in your diet, in your housing, whatever. He's got you covered.
Yeah. The guy's in great shape.
Yeah, he is.
He's in great shape. He's great looking. He's got, he's like a superhero. Are we sure he doesn't have a cape?
Yeah, well, actually, I have seen him in a cape, or in a leotard, actually, now that you mention
leotard.
It. Yeah.
Ben, you and I can barely make it out of bed in the morning. I'm up by the crack of noon every day.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Let's talk about El Chapo.
Yes.
This is great for the American justice system, A, number one. But B, number two, Chicago kind of takes a little on the chin here in the El Chapo trial. Just a touch.
There was some amazing testimony. I actually rang up Jack Riley, the former head of the Drug Enforcement Administration here in Chicago. He's the DEA guy who actually once had a bounty placed on his head by El Chapo. That's how much the Mexican drug lord didn't like him. Riley said this is an incredible moment, not just for the U.S. justice system, but also for Mexican authorities who, as you pointed out, have had a very tough time not only bringing a case against El Chapo, but just keeping him in custody.
Yeah.
So there are these two
right,
brothers.
He would, like, walk out of prison now.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I think he had
no matter what they did with him.
He had the master key.
Yeah.
So there are these two brothers who we've reported on over the years, twin brothers from Chicago. They actually grew up in a little village neighborhood. And they rose up from just kind of street-level drug dealers to lieutenants in El Chapo's organization. El Chapo even flew them down to Mexico a couple of times where they held meetings, where they talked about their operation. And it was Jack Riley, he was heading the DEA here in Chicago, when Pedro Flores, one of the twin brothers, decided he had had enough. And he reached out to the DEA.
So he took it upon himself to do that. It wasn't as if he thought they were on his trail or anything.
Well, let's
like
be
that.
Clear. I mean, there are no angels in this story.
Right, Pedro.
I just wonder.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, it doesn't make sense.
To rise to being a lieutenant. Imagine what you have to do.
Right.
To rise to being a lieutenant.
Right. And the Flores brothers are doing time in prison. The judge here in Chicago sentenced them to 40 years, or 14 years, I should say. But they actually agreed to cooperate. Pedro Flores actually made some recordings of El Chapo, which played a role in the trial. Pedro Flores testified in the trial, and he tells this wild story about the first time he met El Chapo in Mexico, flew into one airstrip, was driven across, a rural area. There was a lot of cloak and dagger. And then as he kind of enters the compound, he describes seeing the dead, naked body of a man chained to a fence. And he testified that that was certainly a reminder of what people who cross the cartel, how they can end up. Nonetheless, he testified and probably played a very pivotal role in describing the operations, how they moved the drugs. There were stash houses all over the Chicago area, in some suburbs that might surprise you. Hinsdale had a stash house where there were just stacks and stacks of cash, money counting machines, as well as drugs. So it was fascinating testimony that really showed the pipeline and shows the, unfortunately, the pivotal role that Chicago has in supplying the Midwest with its drugs.
Now, how did the Empire Carpet guy work his way into this?
You know, I saw that headline and I didn't look that up. I think it was the jingle, right?
Yeah,
right.
No, he said that one of the Flores brothers said that they had this elaborate network of cell phones that they would allow the crews and the guys around him to use, and that what the test number was the 588-22300, right? And so when he was testifying, he talked about how that's the number I always dialed because I just knew the number.
Oh,
so when I was testing these phones.
Yeah, anybody who grew up in Chicago knows that number. I think those were your fake digits in college, weren't they, Anna?
Yeah.
The guy comes up to you at a bar, you know, asks for your number. You weren't quite sure.
Very
sure,
popular.
I'll be happy to give it to you. It's 588.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that?
300.
Test how smart they are all at once, right?
Is that 312? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's 312. Yeah, whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you want it to be.
It's one of those that when the New York people in the New York courtroom heard it, there was no reaction. Of course, it was in Chicago. Right. I think there would have been a little bit of a chuckle.
Yeah. Yep. So we're covering
now,
that
how do you know
today.
The directions to El Chapo's now? Do you turn left or right at the fenced chained body? Which
I think
is
you're
left
horrified
right?
And you're just like stop in your tracks.
How are these guys? What is their life going to be like on the other side?
So they were sentenced to 14 years. You know, they'll presumably do a significant portion of that time, but you know, they are in whatever the federal prison version of witness protection is, you know, because I'm sure these, you know, they're not in general population mixing and mingling. There was some talk that even the prosecutors on this case in New York were going to need to have protection for life, bodyguards, just because of, you know, the threat posed by El Chapo's cartel.
But now that El Chapo's gone, there must be somebody who's replaced him, right?
Oh, instantly. And that it was one of the other things I talked with Jack Riley, formerly of the DEA, about. You know, and that is, you know, all these guys know that the second you take a major player off the chessboard, another one pops up. And part of the reason why the Flores brothers said that they, you know, had kind of decided to get out, Pedro Flores testified that it was warring factions within multiple cartels that you know, made life even more difficult for him. And since then, because you know, it's been years since El Chapo's cartel was taken off, or El Chapo was taken off the playing field, you know, there have been many others who've stepped in.
Yeah. All right, Ben, more of this tonight on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
We shall see you then.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN Newsroom in 2 minutes. South was fine. It was the northbound that was really the problem.
That was really the problem.
Let's just be honest.
But they've got a temporary solution.
Yeah, a temporary solution. James Sweeney is joining us. He's the president of the International Union of Operating Engineers. And, Jim, thank you so much. You guys have been... you've been sort of raising the alarm bell about this, ringing the alarm bell about this over the last number of years, that structurally in this town, we got a lot of problems. And to me, one of the things that scared me the most was that on a structural engineering report about this particular stretch of roadway and bridge here across the river on Lakeshore Drive, the bridge itself is not where this happened. But the bridge is 7 times worse off than the place where it did happen, according to the structural report. How worried should we be about this?
And we're talking one-off bridges. We're talking about this bridge or that bridge, right? And the bridge you're talking about actually is the steel bridge span over the Chicago River right there on Lakeshore Drive. It's the fifth worst bridge in the whole state of Illinois. Out of the 2,300 delinquent bridges, it's the fifth worst. And if you look at the bridge that we just had the collapse with, it was rated fair condition, a 5 out of a possible 9, and built in 1986. I'm raising the alarm on the bridges that were built at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
The last century before this one.
I know, right.
Around the 1900s.
How about those?
Yes, not this century turn. No, no. I know where you're going with this.
But how often are they inspected? Can we feel better that they are watching this and they're noticing? And
well, for instance, there is a bridge that's close to my heart, and I mean it in a sarcastic way, on I-80. The bridge on I-80 at the Des Plaines River, if you're familiar with I-80, not far from the casino that's down there for you gamblers, but also very close to the largest inland port in North America, which is the BNSF and the UP intermodal facilities,
yeah,
which are the biggest in the country. Take truck traffic, that is amazing down there. You get 42,700 cars a day over that bridge on the display over the Des Plaines River on I-80 every day. The majority of those are trucks. The majority of those trucks are at the very limit of weight. Right? They're pushing it.
Right.
You have farmers who bring corn in and they don't have limitations on their weight going into those same yards. That bridge, which was inspected, I think, in when was it last inspected here?
Oh, dear God, he's got it in front of him.
All 2,300 bridges?
We never have this level of information.
This is good data here.
It was built in 1965. Okay, and it was inspected in 2017, same as the bridge that we just collapsed. And this is the evaluation. The superstructure is in critical condition and may require closure. I'm reading this from the report that the inspector had, and these are IDOT's records. Okay, superstructure, critical condition, may require closure. Structural evaluation. This is that person's evaluation of it. Intolerable is the word used.
Intolerable.
A high priority. Intolerable.
That's strong.
There's no rating I can find anywhere that puts intolerable there. It must be right next to criminal as a high priority for replacement. That's what we're dealing with here.
Oh,
so
God.
I go back and I say, listen, as I said last night to people, this was fair condition, built in 1986, not, you know, with a similar amount of vehicles a day, but none of them trucks, because Lakeshore Drive doesn't allow trucks. It's a boulevard. This is for trucks, and this is a major connection for commerce in this country from shore to shore, I-80. All those trucks and all the commerce that is in in Long Beach that is loaded on trains and brought to the Midwest, comes to the Midwest in those big super intermodal yards, are unloaded, put on trucks, and then spread around our area to different either warehouses for distribution,
right,
and or for additional transportation on
and
other
that bridge
rails
you're talking about. You're talking about I-80, the bridge over by Joliet, mm-hmm, over the river.
Right
at
there
Joliet.
By Joliet. Over there,
yeah.
Joliet. You look down, yeah, and you
that's
see
a big
the
bridge
down there.
That's a
and it's a very big bridge, and it also has to be protected from a barge getting loose and hitting that bridge as well. The pier navigation protection is in place, but in a very deteriorated condition.
Okay.
So it's not only you got to worry about the bridge collapsing, you got to worry about a barge getting loose, hitting the bridge, because its protection is not up to par either. And none of
So who do we complain problem. About? I mean, obviously, now listen, I get it. I know there's people out there that are saying, listen, you're a union chief here. You guys want, you know, more jobs and more jobs and more jobs. But the reality is that same person who's making that complaint right now is driving on those roads and across these bridges. And it's clear. We've already seen it in western Pennsylvania. You saw it in Minneapolis. You saw it in other places where you have had incredibly you've had deadly and dangerous circumstances happen.
Absolutely.
Where you have and this, I'm sorry, anybody who's going to take a look at this picture from yesterday of this bridge over in the middle of downtown Chicago, over the Chicago River at Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm, and sees the metal fatigue or failure or whatever the term would be for that, where you literally an I-beam cracks in half. If you're not alarmed by that, I don't know what to
do. It's a wake-up call.
I don't know how to
ways.
Get your attention.
And it draws your attention to others.
I, I literally know people that will not step into an airplane. And you are so much more safe in an airplane than you are driving on these roads with the traffic that we have and the condition of our bridges and our roads. We're just talking about bridges. Now, we just had the polar vortex. And, you know, we have gone now a decade without proper funding IDOT. None of this is IDOT's fault. IDOT can only do what it can do with what it is given in revenue. And it has been starved for more than a decade. We have lost engineers to retirement. We haven't replaced them. We have not prepared a list of shovel-ready projects, right? Because we don't have the engineers, and we haven't engineered projects. For instance, this bridge I'm looking at on I-80. We'd have to engineer it first and have an engineering study done and have it drawn up and all that. You're talking a couple of years before you can even start. That's how far behind we are.
Right. And then people say, well, what about
there, we're not funding it.
And then people say, well, you know, what about the tollways? Why aren't the tolls paying for it?
Which the tollway is its own system, and that's a good example. The tollway is an actual example of what a first-world highway system, transportation system, should look like. What I'm looking at in these reports and what I see every day and what everybody should do when they stop under a bridge and look up, you're looking at a third-world country infrastructure system, and that's what we've delegated ourselves to.
That's true.
You know, when you say that you have a vested interest. We all have a vested interest. I have children that drive on these roads. I have family members that drive on these roads. Our commerce as a nation relies on these roads. I've got people that come to me with these reports who are in a position where they're afraid to speak up about these things, but they know we will speak up about it.
Yeah.
That's why we are the spokesman for the industry, for IDOT, for IDOT engineers who sit there and go, Jim, you have to look at this. You got to say something. Nobody else will say anything.
Well, thank you for saying it. Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate it. James Sweeney, president of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Good luck. Good luck on all this. Good luck to all of us, sir.
Okay.
Thank
you. All I say to you is look up when you're under a bridge.
I'm going to now. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Thank goodness someone did, though. Those workers that spotted this.
No, I don't want to. All right. We're going to talk to Jack Riley coming up in just a moment here. You heard Ben talk about him. Ben Bradley talked about him just a few minutes ago. Formerly ran the DEA office here. Mm-hmm. Was on the hit list of El Chapo. El Chapo wanted to kill him. What this victory by the U.S. Justice Department over El Chapo today means for drug use in America and for drug cartels and all that, and there's no better source, no better expert on this than Jack Riley, former head of the DEA office here in Chicago. We'll do that right after we check with Kim. What's coming up on the WGN News at the top of the hour?
Roe lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have three words for President Trump. Sign the bill.
Coming up, Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. Jack Riley is joining us. This is a true American hero right here, Jack Riley. He ran the DEA office here in Chicago, the field office. And as Jack can tell you, Chicago is one of the most important cities in the world when it comes to enforcement of drug trafficking,
mm-hmm.
because so much happens here, not only because of the people think about the street gangs and stuff, it really has a lot to do with the transportation modes too, right, through this city. And this El Chapo case that just went to jury and now has landed a conviction and what will be undoubtedly a life sentence for Juan Guzman in the federal penitentiary, is one of many cases. There's a Chicago case too that they could try, you know, in this district of federal court. Jack, I want to get your thoughts on this because you were central in making sure that Juan Guzman became public enemy number one and is in custody.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, and I got to tell you, this is a great day for the good guys. For the DEA agents, for the Chicago police, for everybody, the prosecutors, for everybody in Chicago that contributed to this. I mean, I think this guy, other than Osama bin Laden, is the number one bad guy of our generation. And I am so proud of the agents, policemen, prosecutors that were really risked everything to get this guy locked up, extradited, and convicted in U.S. court. This sends a message to terrorists and drug traffickers around the world. We're coming to get you, dudes, and we will bring you to the U.S. and you're going to face justice the American way. And it brings me joy. He's exactly where he belongs.
How key was the testimony from the Flores brothers, the boys who came from Little Village and rose up to be key lieutenants and ultimately flipped on their boss, the cartel?
You know, it was crucial. It was really the first time, I think, the country and certainly the Department of Justice got a glimpse into exactly how large Sinaloa was. I mean, you had Chapo Guzman, who's a mass murderer and also a hell of a corporate CEO, I'm sorry to say, but he was on the phone negotiating the price of a kilo of heroin that's coming to Chicago to kill our citizens. I mean, the Flores twins were probably at one point his largest customers domestically in the United States, and their testimony was crucial in putting him where he belongs.
It is fascinating that their testimony, they talked about it going down to Mexico, going down to meet him on one of his properties there, and there was the naked body of an individual chained to a fence, just as a warning, sort of like a hello and welcome to, you know, some people have lawn ornaments. This guy had dead bodies, right? I mean, it's sort of like,
chilling.
You know, guess what? Well, you know, this is what our world is like. And yet, what is so strange, the stories today from the trial of his wife, you know, who... Even she was there for the testimony of his mistress, and his wife was like, I love you, baby. It was, you know, like...
It was a telenovela on all levels,
I mean,
right?
It's crazy, because it's just hard to imagine that these are humans who do this.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the importance of the trial. It opened up to the American public just how vicious and out of control these people are. Chapo put a bounty on my head in 2007 when I was a boss in El Paso. And he wanted my head cut off. And I got to believe he could have if he could have caught me, because that's how strong they were. But what I love the most about this story and about the whole crusade to get him in jail was we really learned how vicious, well-organized, and well-financed these cartels are and how they affect life and the way people live in our great city of Chicago. And I saw him turn the streets of Chicago really into a heroin nightmare based off the prescription drug abuse that we were having. And, it's just amazing that we were able to put it together and he's where he belongs.
Well, Jack, thank you for your service to the United States of America, your many years at the DEA, and your years here, obviously, in Chicago, but throughout the country. The hardworking men and women, I know the FBI gets a lot of credit here for things that they do. The DEA does you know, all the hard work, the legwork, and the dangerous work, not only dealing with the cartels, but also the dangerous work of dealing with the substances themselves. So it is incredibly hard work with what you guys do, and thank you for what you've done. Jack Riley, appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes. That is an American hero right there.
What a story.
And one of the guys responsible for El Chapo getting busted and now going away for the rest of his life into a United States federal penitentiary. We got the news coming away in two. Tom Skilling's unpaid appearance is here at WGN, brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
So happy you're here, Tom.
Good to be here, guys.
Never has there been a need for anybody more than you right now. I should remind you, I was just handed this because starting March 1st, we're giving you a chance to get your own deck from Arkadeck to get decked out this summer.
How about that?
A dream deck.
You could be like Roe.
Well, lucky winner will get a 16-foot by 12-foot deck and a party with our show broadcasting live from your new deck. Wait, hold on.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I just found that out.
Wow. Wait, I just found
that
out.
That sounds like a blast.
Reading the rest of the paragraph.
Yeah.
I had not, you know, one must pre-read
this.
It's
important.
Things.
You have to read
reading,
down
Ro,
to the bottom.
If you keep reading, you'll find out you're paying for it all, too, you know, so.
We're
not
going to
tell them that part yet, Tom.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. That's later on in the text.
Oh, my God.
Alcohol provided by Ro Khan.
Wow. That is kind of
what
fun.
What a guy.
Yeah.
That is going to be fun.
That's what Eddie Schwartz used to say when I worked with him. What a guy. So,
hopefully the people who win that would like us to be there and want to kick us out at some point.
There may be people who are like, I'll take the deck. I don't want the show.
Right. Yeah, we don't want you. We want the deck.
No, that part doesn't sound as exciting.
No.
Mm-mm.
You kidding? Pass up a chance to have Rokon
sitting on your deck.
Big deal.
I'm telling you. It's great.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, where's the bathroom around here?
You going to eat that?
Yeah.
Now, I've got a little balcony. Will they put the deck on the balcony?
Do balconies.
I don't think they can.
No?
Actually, no.
Oh,
okay. I don't want to walk them into something they can't actually do. They cannot actually do a balcony.
What about like a big terrace kind of thing that you might have?
Yeah, for a home. Yes.
So
yeah, you got a big terrace like that's kind of what almost my thing is.
That is, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Beautiful space.
You have put your deck on the map. I mean, it sounds beautiful.
I'm trying not to keep it and put it on the map, if you know what I mean.
I know.
But it is, it's been, it's gotten a lot of use. It gets a lot of work. And it's nice to think about right now.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
I was, it's crazy as it sounded. You know, I was having the kids are over, and I'm thinking, all right, Sunday night, what am I going to do? I was going to cook out on Sunday night.
Oh,
as crazy as it was Sunday night.
That's nice. Some people cook out in blizzards. They sent me pictures of them grilling and all.
That's what I was going to do. It was gonna kind of snowy and everything, and then there was a fracas broke out in the house, as it always does. And then we're like,
I'm not doing anything.
We got to work. Let's order in. So it turned into that. But
that's always a good thing to do anyway.
That's how we did it.
Sure. Yep. Well, that sounds very nice.
All right. So let's talk.
What'd you think about this ice?
I got caught in it today with the ice coming down right by the Sears Tower and downtown there by Union Station. It was pretty remarkable.
It is, Anna. It's interesting. Bill Snyder, Steve Kahn, and Frank Wachowski put their heads together. We don't record ice thickness per se. It's often included in climate texts that are filed in the comments below. But near as we can tell, it looks like this may have been the heaviest ice coating in 71 years around here at the official station here in Chicago, where almost 4 to 5 tenths of an inch of ice accumulated.
That's a lot. That's a lot of ice when you stop and you think about it, because it comes down, as you point out, as water droplets.
It does.
And so it's not like, it isn't a rain total, because you're still counting the buoyancy of the water.
Right.
This is when it flattens out. I mean, that's Blackhawks worthy.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's some mass to this, too. And that's the concern tonight, because these winds are picking up. We already have some gusts of 40 going, and we could have some local gusts as high as 50 or even 55 in a few spots. And so there's, all these trees and power lines in places weighed down with ice. And then on top of that, if you blow a wind on that ice storm I remember up in Wisconsin, now we had 4 inches of rain out of that, and I don't know what the ice accumulation was. It must have been an inch, inch and a half. And it was when the wind hit that the power lines started coming down, the transformers going. Now, that was an extreme case. But we've got something like that going tonight. And there's been some video that I've been sent from the southwest side down by 63rd Street. I guess one of these power lines came down under the weight of the ice last night at about 1 in the morning.
You warned us about that with the storm.
And the power line was arcing, Anna. And, I remember that thing in Wisconsin. The power lines would come down, arc, and trees would come down across the roads, and it would actually ignite some of these trees. You had fires that broke out. So I'm not sure we're going to get quite that extreme tonight, but the bottom line is there could be some branches coming down and perhaps some power lines, and I'm sure our...
stay away.
Yeah.
Is the point.
But that wind complicates things, doesn't it? Because
you
use those heavily weighted tree limbs, and then the wind picks up, it could potentially blow in all kinds of directions.
Absolutely. And, any object outside that is coated with this thing has an extra burden on it already, and wind would just add to that. So, quite interesting. We were, it looks like Chicago sees freezing rain about 3 to 4 days a year. Since January 22nd, 21 days ago, we've had 6 days with freezing rain for a total of 20 hours and 29 minutes of freezing rain. That comes from Mark Carroll, who works with us, meteorologist Mark Carroll. He was for years with Murray and Treadle here in town, and now works with us. And he pointed out the rain started at O'Hare, at freezing rain at 5:46 last night. It rained steadily, freezing rain, till 3:38 in the morning, and then it commenced again at 4:43 till 5:01. So that's a long stretch, and I know as I was driving home last night toward midnight from the station here, it was the roads were like slushy, ice was everywhere.
Yeah,
and it was
closer you got to the lake, it was not as treacherous. But if you got like interesting as you're heading from sort of the center of the city,
right north
toward the lake right. as well, you're starting to see because I know it was super icy like west.
Yes,
and then. And then it was okay. Like around 11 o'clock last night, it was pretty still, kind of passable. But you could see that overnight, when that stuff was going to freeze,
oh yeah,
it was going to be super bad.
Absolutely,
super bad.
And you know, if you're talking sidewalks and driveways and untreated side streets, you know, outside the city, for instance, wow. You know, you've got a regular skating rink going in some of these places.
So this wind tonight that's coming in, I've seen some weather forecasters, national weather forecasters, refer to this as a wall of wind that is heading into the Midwest.
I'm looking at a gust plot right now, and we've got 40 mile per hour. There's an arc of gust that goes from Minnesota and Iowa, much of the state of Iowa, right down through central and northern Illinois and central and northern Indiana, and it's working its way into Ohio right now, those 30 mile per hour and stronger winds. And within that that area of strong winds, I see gusts up to 46 right now, and I suspect as the storm continues deepening, these will strengthen some.
Do we expect here in the Chicago area?
I think 50 to 55 mile per hour gusts could be occurring in some open areas around here. Those would be the absolute tops. But I think as a general proposition, 40 to 50 mile per hour wind gusts are a good bet, and there are wind advisories out through the night. So this is going to be something. And then this thing will exit, and we've got another little system, but we'll warm up ahead of it late
70s
with rain.
70s?
Yeah.
When do we hit 70? Is that close
Don't
by?
Ask him, because his answer is always annoying.
But, no, you know what? I'll tell you something. Whatever anybody says, I want 90 degrees tomorrow, and all that, I say, you got it. And you didn't tell me where it had to happen, so you know it'll be occurring somewhere. But
a little warmer. So are we anticipating that the ice that's being formed here is going to that has already been formed is going to get blown off?
I think some of it will. Some of it will just cling. It'll be interesting to see when we run this kind of wind through it. I think a lot
it's
of
kind
it
of
will.
Dangerous downtown right now.
Yeah, it is. It's coming off the Willis Tower and some of the buildings downtown. So
and
is
it works
it still
up some
Willis
speed.
Tower?
I don't know.
Sears
Tower forever.
I don't know what to call them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sears.
Somebody told me technically the Hancock Building is called something Michigan Avenue.
That's right. It's got a new name as well.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is.
And I still call it Hancock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got right. Well, it was for a while. They stopped calling it Hancock, and they transitioned over to the address.
Uh-huh.
What is it? 975
875 North Michigan.
875 North Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. But now it's going to be the. It's like the Dairy Queen Tower. There's somebody. Someone is. But I think they're changing it. Like there's a.
Wow, that's a cool.
The
name.
Office. It's not. I wish it were. office. The office part is going to be named something, and then the res. But they don't. They're not calling the whole tower something.
They're looking for new naming rights.
Yeah, I thought they got. Didn't they get something?
I thought so too. I thought I'd heard that. And I'm
that fall through.
We gotta find that out.
They blanked that out. Well, I got a guy who can help. I got a guy for that.
Yeah. And what about Willis Tower now? That's not Willis Tower anymore, right?
Is it not?
Isn't that about to change as well?
I believe it's the Ro Contra with Anna DeVlantis Tower.
I like that.
Let's call it that for
and
future.
And I like the Dairy Queen because every
Queen
time
Tower,
I look at it, I think of a giant vertical blizzard. You know, just
yeah.
Apply your own flavor to it, you know.
There's a dilly bar. It's a big dilly bar.
Right?
95 stories of Oreos. Uh-huh. Oreo. Yeah, I like that, too.
The Oreo Tower, that'd be nice.
They're negotiating new naming rights, is the last I've seen.
For the
Hancock? Must be, yeah, but this is, yeah.
So you know, like Dairy Queen, Kevin, because Kevin's into food of all, you know, sizes and shapes and
he should be in charge of it.
If anything that had a food reference to it.
That's a good point.
He'd like that. Are you there, Kevin?
I'm here. I think it just confuses everybody, though, right? Don't we always just going to stick with the name and know, like, Comiskey Park?
Still call it Comiskey Park. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, the Guaranteed Rate guys are friends. I love them. Yeah. They're great at what they do.
They are.
But I'm sorry. I keep calling it Comiskey. And sometimes I just call it the Cell, and not for U.S. Cellular. I call it the Cell because of the Legui father and son team. That's the way I do it.
I see.
I can't get that out of my head.
Well, I think that makes some sense.
Yeah.
And
Wrigley Field will always be Wrigley Field. And I loved how there was this whole thing about, well, you know, we should start charging Wrigley Field for it. Go ahead. See what? First of all, isn't it M&M Mars Wrigley something anyway?
What you mean the Wrigley Corporation could charge
could get paid
the Cubs for being
right? Could,
it
I mean could they could pay?
Yeah,
I mean they want like the Cubs organization because you know they're not making any money over there. The Cubs organization would, although you know like a utility infielder is $50 trillion. Yeah, I get it. I understand. I hear both sides of the argument. But the idea is that they would say, well, you know, if we're going to keep calling it Wrigley Field and have it up on the marquee, we might as well charge you for it because everybody else is paying for it. And Wrigley was like, okay,
yeah,
make my day and see how far that goes for you.
Do any of you guys doubt though that that's going to be attempted?
It already was attempted. That's the point. They already said to them, and Wrigley's like, okay. It was like meeting with Tony Montana.
Wow.
Do you know what you are, Rika's family? You are a hazard. You know, that is a pig that don't fly straight. That's exactly the conversation that they had with
them. That sounds probably happened.
When
Mars buys Wrigley, I guess you can't call it Mars Field.
Mars already bought Wrigley.
I know. They already bought it. So if they've acquired Wrigley, then you think that you would likely call it that.
You could call it M&M. M&M Park.
You know,
it's
got a nice sound. Sweet sound.
Nobody wants to do that. Again, the point here is this.
This is getting too confusing for my simple mind.
The only one.
It's really changes.
I can promise you, as a lifelong Chicago, we're all lifelong Chicagoans, essentially, right?
Yes, yes.
That the one place, the one major kind of landmark building in Chicago that will change its name and no one will call it by its old name will be the Trump Tower.
Oh,
I promise you that.
Well, you see it then.
Hit us with Wrigley Field. No,
it's never going to fly. And that's why people still call Sears Tower. They you know, the Hancock's always going to be the Hancock.
Yeah,
it's good. I mean, because that's how people are just going to do it. That's
but you see exactly in the real estate listings of people who have Trump Tower listings, call it by the address.
Right.
They don't list Trump
that's
Tower.
The point. The people who live there and are trying to sell their places do not want to use the name. Because you're not going to get extra for it. Even, you know, you can sell to a gigantic fan. They're not going to pay extra. And you are possibly not going to get any foot traffic for the people who don't like him. It's just one of those things about being. I mentioned it to him when we talked to him when he was running for president. And I said to him, do you really want to do this? Yeah. And I told him I liked his sign on the river.
You said it's a great sign. When everyone else thought it was too big and an obnoxious sign. You're like, great sign,
well,
Mr.
Well, now
Trump.
It is.
Great sign.
But then when he was just a real estate developer, I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway. Yeah.
He liked that when you said you liked his sign.
He loved that when I told him I loved his sign. Mm-hmm. But
did you actually tell him?
Yeah,
that?
I did. Yeah.
No, he did. When the whole city was complaining about the sign, Rose said, I like your sign, Mr.
How do you
Trump.
Think we got the interview? I told him I like the sign.
I really love what you're doing
that
here.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Well, although, you have nothing if not guts, Ro.
if not those. Yeah. But the Wrigley Building too. They're talking about changing the name of that or the Tribune Tower, right?
It's there was weird.
All
it's
talk
weird.
About that. It's like, oh, come on.
You know, a friend of mine is a realtor, and I was asking about that. What's Tribune Tower? And he said those are going to be condos, right?
Yeah,
and
a hotel.
Now, will they keep the lobby in its original state, which is
with the maps on the wall? Yeah, I believe
the journalism.
I believe that's staying.
Yeah, I think that has been deemed a historical site, the lobby area. The rest of it,
which
though,
is good. Why would you want to change
absolutely.
The lobby?
Absolutely, it's perfect. I mean, it's awesome.
It's got engraved for people who haven't seen it. There's a gigantic map of the world, and then there are engraved really important quotes from American politicians and lawmakers.
Free speech and journalism and a check on power in America.
Philosophers.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I always felt when I walked into Tribune Tower, I felt the same way about its symbolism to journalism as I did walking into Fermilab when I go out there and do the tornado seminar. That was like a shrine to science out
right.
there. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
same thing.
In that building, just like the journalists in the Tribune Tower.
And now you can buy a condo for $2,000 a square foot.
Wow.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm thoroughly confused about the building situation.
Don't worry about it.
Now,
but,
we'll clear it all up.
Don't worry about it. Got it all worked out for you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, let's check in with...
Stay safe tonight.
Thank you. Kim, what's coming up?
ComEd crews on high alert tonight.
Contra, is that me?
That's me.
That's you. Still you.
Bro Contra with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN, home of our beloved Streaking Blackhawks and home of our beloved, about to become one of the biggest stories in sports, Chicago White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that. I'm not putting too much on Brooks Boyer now. I'm hoping
you are not.
But I just did from the White Sox organization. And now, Brooks, let me... I'm so excited about this upcoming season. I can't even begin. There's an electricity around here about it, and I know. And you're starting out tomorrow with something that Kevin and I have been we've been throwing the ball back and forth a little bit around here, trying to figure out.
Just warming up a little bit
to see how fast
get back in your shape from when you used to play ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Loosen the shoulder up a little bit.
Yeah. I pitched a little bit in eighth grade, Brooks. I think I could probably do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Anna, do you know any orthopedic surgeons that you could have on hand for these guys tomorrow if they come throw a baseball?
Exactly. That's a great point. I do have a fine orthopedic surgeon that we will need. We'll need.
Yeah, we actually have an official one. Sherwin Ho. We have an official orthopedic surgeon.
Dr. Ho.
So we could it'll work out perfectly for me. I could blow it totally out tomorrow, Brooks, and it's all good. All right, now explain. This is such a great promotion. Because everybody thinks that they can. It's almost like that, you know, trying to kick the ball, you know, after the Cody Parkey thing.
Yeah. If they had
this
contest.
Explain what happens. Tomorrow, people show up. Where do they have to go?
Well, you go to the ballpark. Now, here's the thing, is we sold out. There's 100 people that are going to be able to do this, and we sold out of those. If you'd like to put your name on a waiting list, you can go to whitesox.com. But we at this point are sold out. But if you want to come down just to see the ballpark in snow-covered ballpark, if you'd like to watch and see people try to
throw out their shoulder,
touch 90, we'd love to see some fans come out and cheer them on. They will be, you know, our tickets go on sale tomorrow, so that's the key thing. Is we wanted to make sure people were aware that individual game tickets go on sale tomorrow. So we wanted to be able to send somebody down to spring training. When you have weather like this, you got to be able to send someone to spring training. But the top 10 will get opening day tickets as well.
Oh,
so
it's
worth it to come cheer some people on.
And the winners get a VIP trip to spring training, right? Isn't that what comes with if whoever throws it the fastest?
Right. Who would you take?
See, now, Kev's going down to spring training tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's why Kevin actually can't do it. He's flying tonight. He's going to be down there tomorrow.
But I love this because if you go to any Sox game, there's the they have the pitch clock if you want to throw it. And there's like a dummy batter and you can throw it and they'll clock your speed. And it's sort of geared towards kids, but it's always like a bunch of 20-something guys holding beers. All right, whoever throws the fastest, you're all buying me a beer. And then everybody walks away holding their shoulder in pain.
Right,
I love it.
There's always one like super thin guy, though, that's by himself. It's a little Travis Bickley who's standing there and it's like everybody gets scared of him, walks away, and the guy throws it like 130 miles an hour. And then looks at the guy, what do I get?
Like a Chris Sale body frame, and the guy
exactly.
just knows how to create some torque with the baseball.
You're like, where did that guy come from? All right, so the...
awesome. It's in the bullpen, right? So the fans actually get to go into the White Sox home bullpen and do this?
You're gonna go into the White Sox home bullpen. You're going to get a chance to throw the ball twice. So hopefully you don't blow out your arm or your elbow.
Now, do you get to warm up?
Shoulder.
What's the warm-up situation there?
I think you do like a windmill with your arm.
Oh, my God.
I think you should probably warm up before you get there.
I think Sherwin Ho should set up a stand right there.
Will Rick Hahn be scouting talent? Do any of these amateurs have a shot at a major league contract?
Let's make sure we make it clear. This is not a tryout for the team.
Although
it's more fun to think in that way.
But you know what? If someone can fit into, I'm anxious to see what people actually wear to this thing. If you remember the Goose Island kicking thing, people were busting out their high school gear.
Yeah.
And you had like the 40-year-old guy reliving the dream of kicking an extra
point. The Fenwick guy who ruined the great reputation of Fenwick Academy, one of the great schools in the world. And then the first guy gets up there and wipes out wearing
a
Fenwick jersey.
Massive wipeout, on his back, bad. Poor guy.
Hey, all right, so this is really funny, though, that you mentioned that this is not an official tryout. Of the 100 guys who are going to try out for this, or 100 people, I'm sure there'll be a few women who do this as well, but the people who try out for it, I guarantee you that 80 out of those 100 will go, I tried out for the White Sox back in 19.
Right. Just missed out on a contract.
As long as they get online and buy tickets tomorrow at 10, they can say whatever they want.
I get it.
Hey, Brooks, the Goose Island Challenge was such a success, and everybody, they streamed it live on Twitter. There was thousands of people watching across the country. Mm-hmm. You guys going to do anything like that tomorrow if people want to follow and watch?
That's right now there's not a plan for it, but we were trying to figure that out just a couple hours ago because of that same exact thing of, we're not going to have people, well, we don't think at least, we're going to have people falling down. We know somebody's going to come and, go high 80s or low 90s, but that would be a fun way to do it for sure.
Yeah.
You also have this thing where if someone throws, 93, they get some kind of a bonus prize. You think you get somebody out there who can throw
it will be interesting to see. We did have someone there. Well, this went viral. At one point, there was a person that threw 98 at our speed pitch that you were talking about in the concourse. Someone touched 98, but they got a little bit of a running start. Here, this is a real pitch. You have to maintain contact with the rubber and throw the pitch. So no running starts.
You do have the mound, though, here. Normally, if you do the one inside the stadium, you're on a flat surface. It changes a little bit, too.
Right. So you'll have to keep contact with the mound.
Yeah.
I love this promotion.
Oh, my God, it is.
Maybe next year a home run derby. Brooks,
are you guys? Are one of you guys coming out? Or one of you guys?
We've got a crew. Mark Carmen will be out there. Adam Hogue will be out there. Mary Sandberg.
Carmen will throw 38.
Right. Carmen's got no shot. He's going to throw airmail the catcher and hit somebody in the bleachers. Adam Hogue threw the first pitch last year, and it was a frozen rope right into Lucas Giolito's glove.
I take Hogue over Carmen. What do you guys think?
I take Mary Sandberg over both of them.
I'm going to just tell you, when Brooks gave me the great honor a number of years ago of throwing out the first pitch and Chris Sale caught it at then U.S. Cellular.
Yeah.
I made that glove pop when it hit. And literally the booze turned to cheers. It was the greatest stadium moment of my life.
They didn't think you could do it.
Yeah, because you know what, Brooks, I haven't mentioned this, but I played a little bit in eighth grade.
Well, that obviously was on display.
Hey, can any former softball pitchers go underhand? Is that valid?
Yeah, hey, look, get it there and get it going. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I like the guys who play cricket, though, with the running start.
I do inside the stadium. Yeah, do a little crow hop.
Yeah, that's really not going to work. All right, this is so much fun.
So fun.
Very excited. What if people are thinking about single game tickets or series, they want to buy a series or something, what do you think the sleeper series is? I mean, everybody always thinks about, Crosstown and all the rest of that.
Yeah, of course. The opener and Crosstown are really popular. We just announced August 11th is going to be Harold Bain. Day. I think that's going to be a very popular day, and then any of the division rivals, whether it's Cleveland or Detroit, those games typically get pretty animated in the stands. So those are a lot of fun. Any summer weekend, you guys have been out.
Any summer night.
Of some of these prospects. Moncada night a couple nights ago. Michael Kopech night last year was amazing. So maybe Eloy Jimenez at some point would be a pretty cool one.
I would think that's a possibility.
Mm. I like Bring Your Dog to the Park Day. It's one of my favorites. One. Yeah.
And for you guys who want the giveaway, you have to at some point go look at our Hawaiian shirt that we're doing this year. It was featured on MLB Network.
It's pretty awesome.
And you just have to look at the design. I think all of you would look great in it.
Oh.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.
We could wear it at the new Goose Island pub section out in the right field.
The Goose Island.
We're building an actual island in the ballpark is going to be a lot of fun. Uh-huh. You know, those tickets are available. If you're for groups, if you're in a group of people and you just love a social experience, this is going to be it. This is going to be pretty cool.
The Goose Island, which is, people have not seen this yet. Mm-hmm. It's right field, straight down. It's where the Craft Cave used to be. It's right down the straight, you know, down the right field line. Mm. And they're putting a water feature around it. So it's literally an island in the stadium. And it's just so much fun. And there is so much excitement and energy, especially, you know, we don't know. I don't know, Brooks, you want to make any kind of other announcement? You get any phone calls today? Anything?
Any empty lockers getting filled?
Hey, there's a lot of empty lockers here right now because
look at them. Don't get cagey with us.
But, you know, I wouldn't mind there being a couple extra names or really one specific name that would be added. So, you know, your radio microphone to God's ears, I guess.
I know. I understand that Rick Hahn just actually signed Manny Machado's grandmother.
Thank God.
To a development
more Machados, the better.
Yes, I think that'll be good.
Get them all here.
If we can get that worked out.
Guys, I'm just waiting for the call of clean out your office. Someone's taking your job. And you know what? I'd take it for the team. I'd do it.
We need to pool our money here.
It's really going to be fun. What a great season it is going to be. And then tomorrow, people want to go out and watch this. It's really going to be a ton of fun. And I'm sure it'll end up on the social media somewhere. Our guys will put it up on their Facebook Live.
Right. For sure. Are you kidding?
So it'll be great. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for sure.
All right. Speed pitch contest tomorrow at the rate. Guaranteed rate.
11:30.
Field at 11:30 tomorrow morning. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Brooks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Sox.
Thanks, Brooks.
Talk to you.
I think they should just...
you White Sox!
They should just have those giant oversized shoulder packs that pitchers put on their shoulder after an outing. And just like a buffet line of them. As everybody throws out their arm tomorrow, they can just grab one, throw it on their shoulder, and walk out with their head slumped over.
That's their... we passed the Sherwin Ho tent and moved directly to the parking lot.
Ow.
You know what I would do? And I'd have a football game where there's an ambulance that is, you know, like on the sideline. Uh-huh. I'd have that tomorrow.
Just to be sure.
Just an ambulance sitting there waiting.
Just in case, you know, people are going to try pretty hard.
All right. Kim, what's going on in the newsroom for the top of the hour?
Ro, we have some breaking news. Hollywood Casino is being evacuated this hour. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Gordon standing by in the WGN newsroom, which is the Northwestern Medicine newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not on WGN radio?
It is
indeed. All right. And then on the other side, a top five at five that you will not believe, though you should probably believe it, because there's some wackiness in this top five at five.
Always unbelievable, though. Always something unbelievable.
And then we get to the Hawks tonight, who are taking on the Bruins in Boston. And this is a big, big deal.
Huge.
They go for eight in a row tonight.
How about that?
And then we're watching the scoreboard for the other teams in the Western Conference.
Sure.
So it doesn't get much better than that.
Very important game.
All right. And it's all coming your way. But very first, let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got breaking news coming your way in 2 minutes. Con Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. No big deal.
No big deal, except the weather is a big deal tonight. We've got a text from 773. I work for ComEd. I'm working now. Please tell the listeners, stay away from all downed wire. Call ComEd. And he has it in caps with several exclamation points.
Yeah. I mean, I know that seems intuitive, but a lot of people just think it's something lying that, because it's not always sparking.
Right. Can I drive over it? Can I? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Just avoid it. Do not drive over it. Do not go near it. Do not. And you can tell your kids. And keep your pets away. To keep your pets on a leash.
Yeah.
They have a lot of things. They have a lot of rules here.
It's the weather, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. What
is this? He's going to Arizona in less than 24 hours.
Well, as long as he's hoping to.
Yeah. 50-mile-per-hour winds and airplanes don't mix.
No big deal.
Get you there faster, Kevin.
Yeah, maybe. 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 But the weather here has just been so weird. It's like the polar vortex, then it's like rainy, and then an ice storm, and it's just...
All right, we got it. You know,
we got things to do.
Sitting there whining about the fact that you're flying to Arizona tonight to cover the White Sox and the Cubs.
Whining's not allowed on the show anymore?
No, only by me. Authorized whining personnel.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
All right.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That'll do.
Number five.
There's trouble over in the United States Senate Intelligence Committee. Oh, they're mad.
They are.
They're very mad at Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen has the finest lawyer in America.
He does. Our own Mike Monaco.
It's just really true. If you're like, you were gone last week and you're like, wait, what? Our legal analyst, Mike Monaco, is now Michael Cohen's lawyer.
It's absolutely true.
And Michael's getting this all fixed up. Because Cohen was supposed to go testify in front of the Senate.
Yeah.
And then he said,
him off a couple times.
Lanny Davis, his other attorney, was like, oh, he had shoulder surgery. He doesn't feel well. He's got to go. Donald Trump's going to kill him. He can't go. He's got this. It's that.
Safety reasons.
Yeah. So
lots of problems.
Burr was talking to reporters today, and he said that the patience is wearing thin on Capitol Hill.
According to the press, we still have Michael Cohen to interview one more time. But I can assure you that any goodwill that might have existed in the committee with Michael Cohen is now gone.
Is there a chance that you don't end up speaking to him before he reports to jail?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him about it. He's had a letter for 6 months asking for his return. He's already stiffest on being in Washington today. Because of an illness, yet on Twitter, a reporter reported he was having a wild night Saturday night, eating out in New York with five buddies. Didn't seem to have any physical limitations, and he was out with his wife last night.
Yeah, there's pictures showing him warmly hugging and doing the rounds at the restaurant and looking pretty physically able to get around.
I do like the idea of him out with those buddies, those same buddies that the day that he got indicted, he ran over and sat outside with them, and then the reporters were swarming around him, and they all tried to act natural while they're sitting around like a cafe table.
Oh, yeah. All very well-dressed.
Right.
Very well-heeled location.
Right. Guys with long hair. Everybody looked like a guy who either came into money in some awkward way. That's the only way I want to put it.
Awkward is the word you use?
Yeah, I'm going to use the word awkward. It's in a non-traditional sort of way.
Yeah. Who's asking?
Yeah. Or, you know, one of those guys who was like, I got a hedge
fund. Like an Avenatti. Yeah, what's his name? The other one, the Trump guy, the one who was just on the Trump guy who worked in the White House with the Italian name. Friend of the show.
Scaramucci. Yeah, guys are like that. Yeah. Scaramucci you kind of see, though. He looks like he went from the Ivy Leagues to Wall Street. Those guys all look like they were were lottery winners.
Do you need to talk to him before you finish your investigation?
I think it would be prudent to do that.
Well, subpoenaing?
Well, I've never gotten into who we have subpoenaed and who we haven't subpoenaed, but I think he clearly rises to one of the people that I would go to every length I could to make sure that we got his testimony.
All right. Yeah, you know why? Because he lied before, and they want to see if he's going to lie again. Because they got him on lying before, and if he lies again, if he doesn't lie again, let me just tell you this. It's not going to be good for some people up on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue when he does get to the Senate, when Michael Cohen gets to the Senate. Now, they'll have to prove that his news story is true.
And the other one was not.
But his news story is not going to be good. All right. Checking in at
number four.
This congresswoman from Minnesota, right? Ilhan Omar. She didn't do it. It was dumb what she wrote on the Twitter machine.
It was.
Very, very, very dumb. And she is being asked by the president to step down from Congress. It's time for you to leave. The president gets to decide that. He's going to decide that. And if she doesn't leave, she should at least not be on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Anti-Semitism has no place in the United States Congress. And Congressman Omar is terrible, what she said. And I think she should either resign from Congress or she should certainly resign from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. What she said is so deep-seated in her heart that her lame apology, and that's what it was lame, and she didn't mean a word of it, was just not appropriate. I think she should resign from Congress, frankly. But at a minimum, she shouldn't be on committees, or certainly that committee.
And so what she did is she tweeted about the question on the issues in a debate on Twitter about why there are so many conservatives that are in favor of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's all about the Benjamins.
Right.
In reference to its money. And then she claims that AIPAC, which is the U.S.-based PAC that represents Israeli interests, pays off congressmen to side with Israel, to vote for Israel and side with Israel.
Right, to buy their allegiance, mm-hmm. was the inference.
Playing on the idea of Jewish money influencing American politics, blah, 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 which Republicans have been playing in, too, through George Soros and the rest of that stuff. I mean, that's what they've been doing. But it's got to drive Democrats absolutely nuts that they got one of their rogue freshman congressmen out there saying stupid things, and then the president gets to be the voice of reason. Right?
And tell them
what. Just think about that for a second. Donald Trump's like, I can't believe what she said. It's so offensive. By the way, is there Pocahontas over there? I mean, come on! Yeah, I know! That's what they said, too. And that's the damnedest thing. It's like when did everybody take a moron pill before they got off the plane at Reagan National?
I'll tell you.
I mean, it's crazy! It's like, is there any adult left in either party who's going to step up and go, hey, this is not the way we should act? Is there anybody? And if you think this is crazy, wait till you get to number three on the other side.
Yeah.
This.
Oh, boy.
Jen, what's happening on the roads?
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
All right. Top 5 at 5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
You know, seeing that sunrise from space for the very first time, it is incredible. You know, it becomes pretty obvious pretty early when you get into space that we're all kind of in this together.
That's super astronaut Mark Kelly.
Yes.
He announced today he's going to run for the Senate in Arizona against Martha McSally.
How about that?
Now, you'll recall that Mark Kelly is married to Gabby Giffords, right? The congresswoman who was shot. And this is a very interesting thing because this 2020 election could flip the Senate if Democrats don't screw it up, which they're completely likely to do. But a Mark Kelly candidacy in Arizona would be pretty strong.
You know, I learned a lot from being an astronaut. I learned a lot from being a pilot in the Navy. I learned a lot about solving problems from being an engineer. But what I learned from my wife is how you use policy to improve people's lives. Arizonans are facing incredibly challenging issues here in the years to come. Access to affordable health care, the stagnation of wages, job growth, the economy. You know, as the climate warms, we're going to have more drought here in the desert.
Wow, it's an emotional ad. He could be a formidable candidate in that race.
Yes, he certainly could be. But Martha McSally was a pretty good candidate. I mean, she is a combat veteran, right? Combat pilot.
Yep.
One of the first,
mm-hmm.
if not the first, I think.
The first is what we heard.
And sure. then he was a combat pilot before he was an astronaut. So it sets up a sort of an American hero versus American hero race. All right, checking in at
number 2.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. You got to see that's how I dream to be. I dream I move. I dream I groove. Like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
The greatest song of all time.
I know. Brings tears to the eyes.
I used to play a little basketball.
You guys played every sport.
Yeah, we played football. Just a little bit. We can play with Jordan. I can play with Jordan. We're the same age. I promise. I blew out my knee.
Damn knee.
Yep. In fourth grade. Michael Jordan Listen to this. Okay, so now he owns the Hornets in Charlotte.
Yep.
And this is a... This year, the All-Star Game is going to be in Charlotte.
Nice.
And the All-Star Game is going to be on Mike's birthday.
Nice.
It's the nicest basketball, like, trifecta of all times.
It's a constant reminder that I'm getting old. It's amazing. Always, the All-Star Game is always around my birthday. I wish it could be postponed a week or after, but, you know, it's a constant reminder that the game is evolving. I'm evolving as a person. And it's a one time where I can bring everybody in and celebrate and enjoy the game of basketball all at the same time. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I got a lot of family here. Not enough tickets, but you know, it should be fun.
Don't be calling them. You need a ticket.
That's
cool.
That's pretty.
Love hearing from Mexico.
That's very cool. I know. So I always kind of think he can still be out there. Bulls can use him.
Really?
Damn the injury.
Bulls can use me and Kev.
If it weren't for the knee.
Number one.
Under all circumstances.
After a show, we drink a quart of Jack Daniels and stick the bottle right. But hungover as hell, that Catholic boy always showed up to morning man. We tell him, slow down, you'll end up like Belushi and Kenny. He said, those guys are my heroes, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't making that shit up, that's the truth about my boy Chris Farley.
All about the bromances on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, as Adam Sandler talked about during an interview about his friendship, basically his bromance love affair with Chris Farley, who he's honoring with that song during his 100% Fresh stand-up special on Netflix.
I walked in one time and he had Walkman on, and then I said, hey, and he turned around, he looked up at me and his eyes were filled with tears. And I was like, oh, man, what's going on? I said, what's happening? What are you doing? What are you listening to? And he goes, Casey and the Sunset, Casey and the Sunshine Band. And I go, oh, okay, that got you upset? Is that upset? And I didn't expect, yeah, I know. Usually I dance to Casey and the Sunshine.
Everyone does, yeah.
But he said it reminded him of his father, and it made him emotional. And anyways, but he was so funny. He just started laughing uncontrollably after the fact that I caught him crying about his dad. And he was like, whoa.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's
Miss
awesome.
Chris Farley.
Yes. I think the world misses Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. People still talk about anything. You can't ever say the word van without somebody connecting it to being down by a
down
river.
By the river, right.
Somewhere, somehow, sometime. I mean, that just tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago Blackhawks hockey is coming your way right after we close this thing up.
The top five at five.